The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D. I don't know if it's brought to you by Mark Canada, the D, but that's where we are. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the Hizzy, producer number nine, so much more than the producer, who will have a Ryder Cup preview a little later this hour. You excited?
Yeah, I got a couple bets.
You get excited about the Ryder Cup?
I get way more excited about when it's here in the United States.
Yeah, the viewing time's a little difficult.
Yeah, the betting is far less when it is over in Europe.
You like to watch what you're betting.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Still to come also, we will hear from Drew, the Armenian bettor, who will be joining us in studio. Probably really just about trying to inspire, if you are a young bettor or a new bettor who really has an interest in taking this seriously, Drew is a great example of someone who started from absolute scratch and made himself into something big. We'll talk to him a little later in the hour. But it is Thursday. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. That means Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Oh, yeah. That's a little LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call it a comeback right there.
Yeah,
the man wears a Kangol. This man does too. Bill Krakenberger from inside his automobile in New York City. Is that where you are?
Yeah. Speaking of somebody that made it big, like your previous or your gambler that's going to come on, the Armenian Nightmare, whatever his name is.
The Armenian Nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I have made it big in the world of bagels. And as you can see here, this is Essa Bagel, my favorite bagel, which I'm about to have sesame seeds all over me.
Oh, boy.
But as you can see,
oh my God,
that is a bagel. That's a bagel. I mean,
what do you got inside
that
bagel?
Yeah, what's on there, Bill?
What was on the bagel?
The first one had the lox, the onion and stuff. I had that. This one is for later on. I just wanted to open it. This is the dessert one. This is the apple cinnamon cream cheese.
Oh, my God.
This one puts you in the nursing home.
Oh, my God.
You're on the way to the nursing home. This one puts you in the nursing home. By the way, the best apple cinnamon cream cheese in the world. Essa Bagel over on First. They have a location on Third. They've been in business like 40 years. Old school bag. Used to be number one. Now there's like three or four of them that always fight. So I'm here. I'm headed up to... Now, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Billy Martin, up to their graves. I'm going to visit that. You know, my little cemetery gig I like doing once in a while. James Cagney, also in the same cemetery. So I'm headed over there. I'm actually in town. There's a Boxing Hall of Fame dinner and induction for New Jersey. I'm picking up my friend that's driving in from Erie, Pennsylvania, and... picking them up, we're driving down Atlantic City. George Foreman, Pinklin Thomas, a lot of big old names that are going to be in there today. And the dinner's tomorrow. It should be a fun time.
That's awesome. New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, correct? For the state of New Jersey.
It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's in the state of New Jersey, right.
I don't want to let the cemetery thing go by without sort of following up on that. So you do that randomly? You just like go to a cemetery and you hang out?
Well, I flew into Newark. I had literally 7 hours to kill, so I decided to hit the bagel place first. Then I'm going to go to I like going to famous cemetery things, and I seen the Pride of the Yankees last week. I haven't seen it in probably 20 years, Lou Gehrig. And I said, you know what? It just affected me different this time. I'm going to go up there, and I always wanted to go to, like, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig are buried like literally 2 miles apart and around approximately in different cemeteries. And I love James Cagney, the song and dance man, also Puff Guy. And then Billy Martin, Tommy Dorsey. There's a lot of people that are actually, people may not know, because, you know, I'm old school.
You are old school.
And I like going to this type of thing. It's a little hobby I have, cemetery tour. It might be a little weird to some people, but it's something I usually do in the off season, just that I have like 7 hours to kill.
No,
it was either go there or the Bronx Zoo. So I said, let me go to them.
I respect anyone who has honor for folks of the past. I respect that. We have too many people on Earth who think that the world started when they were born. So I love that.
Yeah, here's a little honor, Gil. $160 that that I just got a ticket, and I told the guy, "Can you give me the ticket as fast as possible? Because I have to go on air." Normally, I would have talked my way out of it.
Wait, you got a ticket for because you illegally parked for this?
I did. I made a turn illegally. He said I was still down. I knew I had a red light, and I waited to the green light. I thought I did everything right, but I didn't want to argue. I said, "How much is the ticket?" He said, $139. I said, "Fine. Can you ride it as fast as possible, please?"
I
wasn't trying to be a jerk.
Did you say to him, like I said to the guy in Vegas?
I gotta go on air.
Who got me for speeding here, I go, "Hey, while I have you, what are you going to do about this stuff flying off your trucks?" I said to him. And he goes, "You're way more of a menace than they are."
I was going to comment that it looked like Bill got the best parking spot in New York City somehow with his shot right now.
Hey, Bill, I heard you.
I spent $4 for this. It's $4. But anyway.
Well, I'm sorry about the ticket. I heard you have a story for us.
Oh, no, let me get my phone out. Of course, stories. My life's just every week a story, like a cartoon character.
Do you know what I'm referring to? Yes.
Oh, reality shows?
Yes.
I was filming two reality shows. One, you and I filmed down at Circa.
Mm-hmm.
I filmed last week when I had 10 picks on Jacksonville, and that was a nice end to my Circa life. I know it was 10 picks anyway.
You got knocked out of Survivor with 10 Jacksonvilles?
Yeah.
Oh,
10
man.
Jacksonvilles. Yeah. So I had 10 Jacksonvilles on that one. I'm partners with other guys. We still have not many. I don't want to tell you how much we invested. Exactly what I said. You know what? Great that you said this. Gil, you remember the beginning of the season we talked about this, about people get upset that you're in with other people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just tell you. Between me, my personal outlay, 10, 16, about 20 some dimes, and that's mostly gone. So,
man,
people get all weird about it. They, "Oh my God, you get, you have more than the 10 entries." Well, like John Orlando, we do our podcast. So, John, someone in the office said, "Hey, John and I would like to put $200 each up. Can you put $600 up?" I gave them $600. They lost it the first week on Seattle. Like, I'm not complaining, but some people can't afford to put $1,000 in. So I said, "Yeah, it's a fun thing." Looking back at it now, the millions is probably the way to go. But only because I would have been in all year. It was a little bit of an overlay.
Are you not in millions at all?
Oh no, I have 5 entries in millions.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was wondering. Yeah.
I'm a million. I'm, by the way, doing good.
Yeah,
doing good a million.
You just mean you don't want to do Survivor at all anymore, is what you're saying.
I got to tell you something. Not just because of this year, I just think that the outlay of money. I lost a lot of money in the first 3 weeks on football pools, but it's a big luck factor, as you see. You would know this. Is 75% of the pool out right now?
73 plus percent are out. Last year at this point, 74 plus percent were out.
Yeah, listen, if I had 10 selections, I'd be the king of the world. Sour grapes, which I never normally have. Don't forget it. But my purpose is, I was filming two reality shows in addition to, it's very difficult this time of the year with podcasts and things and shows. So I was filming the reality show. You and I did a couple segments together on the Circle one. So there was one down at the Westgate that I was taking part of, and the producers they asked me to, "Hey, they looked me up, they found me, and then they started asking like crazy questions, Gil, and they just wanted so many different things help. On different areas. Like, listen, when we did Acting on Showtime, it was Showtime. I don't even know what this Fugazi network is they're doing it on. But anyway, they asked me, like, "Hey, can you get this person or that person?" Well, first, I want to read you some of the text real quick. So they wanted a sports betting, background. And they say, "Can you jump on a call with one of the bosses?" So I jumped on a Zoom call. He's like, listen, I allotted 45 minutes for this. 5 minutes, you're on. You're good. I like to have a sharp side like you. So then this girl, Anne-Marie, one of the producers, hey, Bill, we're looking for a few more amateur bettors who are wagering lots of cash. And any amateurs you know who'd be good, and also looking for a guy who bets on tennis, coincidentally. You, Bill. But let me know if you have anyone in mind. So they wanted to know if anyone bets on tennis. They wanted to know if any people are betting a lot of money. And more importantly, they wanted me to be someone I wasn't. How much money are you willing to take to a counter and bet? And I just said, you know what?
What?
Zero. Zero. Like, that's not me. I don't go to the counter and bet. I'm trying to explain to them, your money's on the apps. That's what you look at when we bet. We don't. You want to look at the app? Fine. You can look on it. I really don't bet too much cash. You know, when we filmed action, I did go down to South Point because they took more. One of the places they take more in person than the app. So I had them film something there. But I'm not one to go to a sports book with a lot of money to show off money and fancy car. You know, it's just not me. So I kind of got upset that I was like, and my response is, which, am I on for another segment or
well,
no?
Well, you're on for another segment. So hold this thought because I'm curious where this is going.
Because
I can tell you.
I kind of spoke my mind here.
Yeah. Oh, no. Mind, you know? Oh, I'd like to hear this.
Hollywood people.
Okay. You know, let's hold your thought. Hold your thought. We'll go to commercial. Bill spoke his mind as his annoyance was increasing on this. We'll hear the end of this story on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. You ready for hockey season, Kelly?
Hell yeah.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets, articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide's a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Since we're talking to Bill about his story here on a reality show, which he's about to continue with, you had just sent me this from Richard Deitch. Is it Deitch or Deitch? Do we know?
I've always said Deitch, but I don't really know.
I don't really know. But
sorry, Richard.
He's always, sorry about that, Richard.
He does great work.
Yeah. He does great work. He's always covering
sports media.
Sports media in general. His latest tweet, Amazon Prime Video's Sports Talk Block, which was announced last year as a daily 12-hour programming block of studio shows, will end at the end of October. The company declined comment. The media business is brutal. He says, wishing the best for those talent creators. So that was the one where I was talking about last year where you couldn't even find it.
Yeah.
Kerry Champion had a show. Our buddy Reed Fowler was on there.
Yeah, and we don't know details.
We don't know what
exactly is going on or when it's ending. But, you know, with that, it's... I think it was interesting when we first kind of, you know, were stumbling upon it and learning about it as just kind of another sports media outlet out there. But like you always brought up, you can never find the damn thing.
You have to be able to find something.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be job one. So there you go. There's the latest in that. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. He joins us once again from inside a vehicle outside of a bagel shop, Essa Bagel, in New York City. So you're doing, in addition to your Fox show, in addition to Wisecracks, which you do, a podcast with John Orlando, in addition to hanging out with us each and every Thursday, you are on a couple reality shows, one that centers around Circus Survivor, which you've now been bounced from. Sorry about that. And then there's this other one that you were just talking about. And so the producers were asking you questions and you were starting.
They wanted people to have a lot of money and bet a lot of money. And that's scripted reality. It's fake. So they wanted to find they were looking for like the Kardashians of the betting world. And I just didn't like the questions where they were going. That was the one question. The next one was, hey, they are also last minute, or we are also last minute looking for guys who bet on soccer, if you know anyone. Well, this is NFL week one, they're filming. You ask me for someone that's betting on tennis. You ask me for someone that's betting on soccer. And now you're asking for amateurs that have a lot of cash. And you want me to go to the window with a lot of cash. So I kind of got a little bit frustrated because, you know, we know what sells more than a lot of these people that are trying to make documentaries, people that don't gamble, people that aren't in the space, people just trying to make some money. So I already don't really care for these Hollywood types to begin with. So luckily enough, I am pretty good in life. I don't have to worry about if they don't like me or not after I say something. So let me read something to you. I said, hi, it's so hard because I really don't deal with a lot of people here in Vegas. What I'm saying off record now is on record is you just can't trust people that gamble out here. You have to be real careful who you deal with. I keep my circle very tight and small. I may explain that on air. Just to explain that part of the, you know, the gambling and you know, gamblers and stuff and the circle. You know, every 2, 3, 4 years, there's a fresh faces, man. They get burnt out. They go broke. So I'm trying to explain it to her. Next thing I get a letter. And by the way, this is after they told me to come in, work my schedule around when I'm done with my Fox show. Please come to the studio. To Westgate after your show. We want to start filming. They sent me an email 2 days before. Thank you so much for the time you invested in the casting process. We met very many interesting people along the way. You were among the small pool of serious contenders. It's a form letter. Our apologies for getting to this to you just days before filming. Decisions we're making last day. I cursed them all out because I changed my schedule around to be down there. By the way, they're not filming me. So on a Friday, you pull this BS, and I just kind of probably went overboard a little bit too because they had a 45-minute interview with me, and they got done with it in 5 minutes and said, oh, you're great, you're on. Because I'm real. They want BS people betting money. Go to TikTok, go to Instagram. You can find many of these charlatans, con men, scammers, people showing money. That's just not me. But if you want the sharp side of sports betting, which may be boring for a lot of the Kardashian audience that you have there, sweetie, you know, that's not me.
Yeah.
Take it, as my father would say, take it on the hop.
Yeah. So doesn't this get to the broader point that we've made in different contexts before, which is, and I guess this is true of different walks of life too, but since we're immersed in betting, it sort of is, we think it's all about what we do. Maybe it is more pronounced, but betting is one of these things, and we've seen it with like mainstream media, right? As soon as betting was legalized, everybody became a betting expert overnight, right? And with someone who's doing a Hollywood production who doesn't really know it, they've got their preconceived notion. We even, by the way, you and I, no names, but there was someone on Action, right, involved who had his preconceived notion of, nope, this is how I'm doing it. And it didn't matter how much advice he got. He just went with what he wanted to do. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about on that set, but it was sort of, that's always going to be the case. And I think betting is one of these things that people feel like they can instantly know what it is. There's something about it specifically because there's no barrier to entry, right? And so they have their central casting notion of it, and it overrides any incoming advice. And it sounds like that's what you experienced with it to some degree.
Yeah, I guess. You know, like you're saying at the beginning, people thought this space was going to be so much bigger. Just think about, I think Bleacher Report's totally out of the gambling space. They had the studios at Caesars. I think, did ESPN close their studios here in Las Vegas?
They did. Yeah. Well,
They're gone. Another one gone. I mean, think about it. That's the Mecca, ESPN.
Yeah. Well, they had really a deal. It was a deal with Caesars, and now they're doing their own thing. So, yeah.
Right. Now they're doing their own sports book, which should be big. They're going to get a lot of their audience betting sports and stuff, I understand. But not only that, look across the scope of the gambling media networks. Look at all the people that got fired or out of job. They got rid of a lot of guys that were actually, some people in the space were very knowledgeable. Some weren't. And, you know, they put a lot of females into space. It didn't work out for a lot of them, too. Across the whole scope of everything, like I said, it's unbelievable that they really thought it was a bigger space than what it was. And it's not. But you know what? For guys like me, I'm really happy because I was betting sports and making a lot of money way before any of this became popular and glamorous. And, you know, and all of a sudden now the space opened up. I can talk about some things, help some people, try to show them some value of different things. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are a lot sharper than me that won't ever go on air and never talk about things because, one, they probably can't talk on media. They freeze up like Ralph Cramden making a commercial on the Honeymooners.
There's that. Yes.
They would. Yeah, there's that. Or they wouldn't. They honestly wouldn't be able to communicate well for the people at home. Or the other point is they don't want to give out maybe
they
some
don't
of their
give it out.
Nuggets of wisdom.
That's right. There are certain things they don't want to give out. Sure.
If this all goes away for me, I can just always still make money betting sports, and that's always going to be my primary income, to be honest with you.
Bill, we appreciate it. There's one thing we do know. You have some great bagels in your bag right now. That you'll have those for the rest of the day.
And catch this pastrami later on, and I may finish the triple play out with a little go down to Wohop on Mott Street and take a little Chinese food on the go.
Oh, my God, I'm hungry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Sorry about the ticket, man. Bill Krakenberger, everybody.
No problem.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Man made an illegal U-turn in New York City. Got a ticket for, what do you say, 165 or 100, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man.
I totally thought parking spot like you did immediately.
I did too. Immediately.
As soon as we popped him up, I was like, man.
Because Bill feels like one of those guys. He'll go right to the front. He'll park it. You know, I wish I was that guy. You know, it was just like, yeah, this is my spot. Here. Grab the keys.
$4 a pop for a parking spot, huh? I guess that's New York City these days.
We appreciate Bill Krakenberger with his latest tale of a documentary gone awry. Walked off the set, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told him, well, we'll go in a different direction. So, you know, I don't know what happened first there. We'll come back. Ryder Cup thoughts with Kelly Bidlin on the other side. And we'll also hear, I know Bill called him the Armenian nightmare. It's the Armenian better on Twitter is what he is. Drew joins us. I get my hair cut at the same place. You ready for this? You remember?
You were telling me this yesterday.
Do you remember Mariah Mills?
Yeah.
Who was Zion Williamson's?
Had an alleged run-in with Zion.
Run-in,
yeah.
Yeah. So we get our hair cut apparently at the same place, and so does this dude. And he's been on Spanky's podcast. He's been on Rob Pizzola's podcast. He joins us as well. Ryder Cup on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. The Numb Guys. Promo code ANG. Is that a reference to Taiwanese filmmaker Ang Lee? Just curious. Great show. No, Kelly. What does it stand for?
A Numbers Game.
Just curious.
ANG.
All right. Well, you asked the question out loud. When was the last time the Packers have been home dogs to the Detroit Lions? Obviously, a reference to the fact that Aaron Rodgers and before that, Brett Favre were quarterbacks for the Packers all these years. And we don't really have the answer because everybody's given us two dates.
I got multiple answers.
Danny Rhodes, if I didn't say that correctly, Danny Rode says 1996, I believe. Then Vegas Regular said, this is the first time the Lions have been favored at Green Bay since 1986 when Green Bay had their starting quarterback. I suppose he means not Brett Favre.
I have no idea who it was in 86.
Yeah, sports betting guy. Pretty sure the last time the Packers were home dogs to the Lions was week 17 of 2011. Packers opened as favorites, but rested starters, so the Lions closed as road favorites. Ah, now that's probably the answer. It's probably a trick question, right? Because that's the answer, that they sat starters in 2011. It's a good point. This is from...
Jeez, I got a 2017 one, too. I got November 6, 2017, Lions -2.5 at Green Bay.
Yeah, maybe we're the ones that should research this. How about that for a suggestion?
Maybe there's a lot more than I think there were, too.
Jake Miller, I believe the Packers' home field is worth three, especially on a short week, considering that the line indicates that the Lions would be a 4.5. Would be a 4.5-point favorite on a neutral, 7.5 at home, teasing Green Bay to plus 7.5 at home. Seems like a solid teaser leg. I'll combine that with Carolina, plus 10.5 versus Minnesota.
Okay.
So you don't care about no Wong teaser leg on Carolina.
I don't mind the 4.5s going past the 10. It's a lot of points in the NFL.
GV at New Jersey, New York, he chimes in on Survivor. He says, the reason why getting eliminated hits hardest in Survivor is the relative simplicity. Just pick the winner in a sport that we hyper-focus on for months drives you up a wall. I think it's that. I do think that Paul Carr's point is the right one, too, which is you live with it in a way that you don't the others. Right? You have five picks a week. You're not really... You think about it. You definitely do a little stewing about it. But Survivor is like the ultimate stew.
Yeah, and I think you always do a great job of this when we get later in the year. But what the value is of your Survivor pick at that current moment in time, based on how many people are left. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some of that in the beginning of the season that you just. Like subconsciously, right? Like you don't think about it, but you know every week you get further. Like it is 1 week further to the ultimate end goal.
For show. Notebook wager, Jake, he says, oh, I said Travis. Did I say Travis Henry and not Travis Hunter when I was talking about Colorado? He said Travis Hunter. Not former Bills, former Vols running back, father of 11, Travis Henry. Yeah. Fertile guy. Let's see. Phil Weiss, did I hear that crack is at the gate of heaven? Tell him to say hi to my folks, he said. Okay. John Massey, Ralph Branca, Dutch Schultz, and the Mara family at the same cemetery that crack is at. D-Gen, Southern Gen, every time I hear Bill Crackman's intro music, I picture him entering the sports book in a robe like a prize fighter, drinking coffee and bobbing his head. Yes, the coffee is right. Giving high fives to patrons while Bruce Buffer introduces him as he steps up to the kiosk.
Yeah, that's what happens every time.
Let's see here. Boop-a-doop-a-doo. Kevin Ryan. Gil is a longtime 65-year-old gambler. I'm still confused when I hear Capper say, my power ratings make this team a whatever points favorite over another team. How are these numbers deduced for betting purposes? Well, it gets down to how everybody puts their power ratings together. Everyone has their own methods of doing so. But yes, that does convert, if they're doing it in their own way, to a point spread and bet accordingly. Let's see.
It's usually a more complicated version just of how me and you do our power rankings every week. They're actually more assigning numbers to every single team.
And respect the process. I'd pay money to cruise through Jersey with Bill Krakenberger and hit up food spots. Crackman, one hand on the wheel, the other out the window, giving a history lesson about back in the day, like Bronx Tale meets Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Respect.
There you go.
Threw in a little... what's my man's name with the drive-in and dives? What is
Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri, yeah.
Isaiah Wrinkles' hero, personal hero.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think Pete Futak, too.
Really? Oh, Pete Futak, for
Pete's
sure.
Got posters, he's got posters and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Posters he was trying to do shots with him. He's got posters up.
Do you know the people who love watching that show? I'm always like, why are you watching this? Like, but you don't get to eat it. Why are you watching this?
I can't watch those shows.
I can't watch those shows
because is it a good show? It's a great show.
Sure, but I want to eat
it. Am I starving 20 minutes into it? Yes.
I don't get it.
I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't just every 20 minutes be like, well, that looks good. Let me go eat something.
It's like, I don't want to get into my brain, but it's like the food equivalent of like these establishments in Vegas that everybody loves going to. And I'm like, why do you like that? You don't get to. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
It's just a tease.
Ryder Cup, everybody. This is where, boy, the nationalism comes out. You have thoughts on what you've made a few bets, not that many.
Yeah.
Real quick, because we did this yesterday also, format for everybody, real quick.
Yeah, real quick. So this is, and we did just get pairings for the first session, so this will be important. There will be a lot more betting day-to-day and session-to-session than probably futures, at least for me. For me, it's probably going to be about split even. I think someone like Wes Reynolds, he's going to be betting the sessions a whole lot more. Probably Matt Eumanns, too, because he's up all night anyway. So I'm sure he'll be betting a lot. Check VSiN.com for all those. But yeah, we get early session. We get session one, session two. So you get two sessions on Friday, two sessions on Saturday, and that's foursomes and four ball. And then you get singles matches on Sunday. Obviously, this is match play. Singles matches is pretty self-explanatory. Four balls, everybody plays their own ball. You take the best score at the end of the hole. Foursomes, you're playing alternate shot, basically, between the two guys. So we did just get session one info for tomorrow, and a lot of these people have been speculating about, and yes, I got my favorite pairing of golf of all time, Gil. I mean, there was a lot of speculation over this.
Mm-hmm. Giannis and Damian Lillard.
It's basically the equivalent.
Yeah.
John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton will go up against Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns.
Oh.
I don't know if Rahm and Hatton are going to fight each other, fight the other team, get in fight with a fan on the sideline. I don't know. But the idea that those two guys who we've seen get pretty angry on the golf course together playing together is amazing. So that is match one. U.S. rolling out Scheffler and Burns, who have played a lot together in match play events. Rahm and Hatton for the European side. Match two, Homa and Harmon versus Hovland and Åberg. So there was a lot of speculation with Ludvig Åberg get paired with one of the big European stars. He did. Match three, Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa up against Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka getting the early call. That's kind of surprising. And match four, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay versus Rory and Tommy Fleetwood. So European team really loading up the back end there. So that is session one. Tomorrow they will, again, have an afternoon session. Then you're going to have two more sessions on Saturday, and the singles matches come to play on Sunday. So bets that I made for futures for this are Victor Hovland. I played for the most point score for the European side as well as for the entire tournament. Can help if I can find my bets. Thanks, guys. The Xander Schauffele, I played top American point score at plus 625. He's going to get a lot of run here. The question with the American side, because it's so deep, Gil, is which of these guys are going to play the most amount of matches. I do think Xander is going to be near the top of that list. Played him plus 625, top American. Victor Hovland, top European 5-1. Victor Hovland, top point scorer overall, a little over 10-1. And then Tyrrell Hatton, top point scorer 21. Shout out to Chris Felica if he's watching. We were texting about Hatton the other day, and of course I had to make a 20-1 bet on him to be the top point scorer. So those are futures. You can bet those all the way up until tomorrow when this thing will get underway. I'm sure there will be updated stuff throughout. As far as the overall three-way line, it is USA. I mean, last checked was like even money, plus 105 now. Europe plus 105, and Thai is plus 900. If anything, I think it swung too much. There was some value on Europe probably about a month ago. I haven't played a side in this in general, but if I had to right now, Gil, it'd be on the USA.
Although historically, results in Europe.
Yeah, it's been about 30 years.
1997, Europe 1-point win, up 5 going into singles. 2002, a 3-point win. 2006, a 9-point win. 2010, a 1-point win, up 3 going into singles. 2014, a 5-point win. And 2018, a 7-point win. Is that all true?
Yep.
And Europe also 5-1 in the last 6 following a U.S. win.
This U.S. team's stacked, though. Like, this is one of the best teams U.S. has ever put together. Like, this is... they are extremely deep. I think you could make the argument that Europe is trotting out two of or three of the best guys out there with Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm. But they are really top heavy. So some of the guys that they're going to have to play, like Sepp Straka getting the nod today, he's a great golfer. But when you look at what's on the American side, it is talent and talent from top to bottom of the roster. I mean, when you sit here, if I had to tell you the guy I was scared about the most is Brian Harman, and he is. He won the freaking Open Championship this year. I mean, come on. Like, that is, it's pretty wild how deep they are.
A top 10 machine, Brian Harman,
yeah,
over the years in actual golf tournaments. We'll come back. Drew, the Armenian better, inspiration for young betters, perhaps. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs, a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. And to sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code ANG.
ANG, a Numbers Game.
What was the first one?
I almost said that right. A numbers game.
Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 40% off our football season special today when you use promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Once again, Monday Night Football tonight. Real quick, Detroit.
Or Thursday.
Oh, Thursday Night Football. Also, Travis Henry, apparently.
Travis Henry's playing Monday Night Football tonight on a Thursday.
I got it all together. It's as if there's clanging in my ear and other noise to distract me. No, Thursday Night Football tonight. Detroit, 1.5-point favorites on the road against Green Bay. But Green Bay will get, it appears, Aaron Jones and Christian Watson back. Offensive line trouble for both teams. David Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins out for Green Bay. Zach Tom questionable as a replacement. Detroit has the same issue on the offensive line. Halupuli Vaitai and Matt Nelson also ruled out on their offensive line. Taylor Decker and Jonah Jackson questionable to replace. Also, Jair Alexander for the Packers, we should mention, the cornerback questionable. So a lot happening there. In terms of protection, the total's 45.5, maybe an underplay. Again, both Jared Goff and Jordan Love, when you look at the metrics, really play poorly when they are under pressure. They really drop off a cliff in terms of their rankings. And Green Bay has been super fortunate inside the red zone already. So you put all that in the mix, maybe it's an underplay at 45.5.
Lions taking money too, Gil.
Lions are taking money.
The 1.5s are gone that we started the show with. Two and a half pretty much everywhere. Circa, MGM, all at 2.5.
Interesting. Okay. This is a treat. So I was mentioning this earlier. I get my haircut out here west of the strip, let's say, by a guy who typically cuts just women's hair, Mariah Mills of Zion Williamson fame. He was cutting her hair just a few weeks back. He only has like a few male clients. And so I'm in the chair and dude rolls up waiting for get his hair cut right after me. And he looks at me and he goes, I know that dude right there. And then he figures it out. He goes on his phone and figures it out. And it turns out he has been not only on Spanky's podcast, but also on Rob Pozzola's as well, Circles Off. You know him on Twitter as the Armenian better without the V. It's Drew, Armenian better, here with us in the flesh. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for, it's so funny that we met that way.
Yeah, very funny.
Very funny. Your hair looks great, by the way. You got it done yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Nicely done. Nicely done, Dave. Okay. The reason why I want to have you here is you can serve as inspiration for, there's going to be a subsection of people who listen to this show, a subset, where they're like super into this. They're kind of new to it. And I think you serve as a great inspiration. At one time, and we'll get to where he is now, but at one time you were just a square better like anybody else.
Yeah.
Would you say a bad better even?
I mean, I think everyone has been a bad better at one point or another. We just, as humans, we have like a lot of things going against us in terms of cognitive biases and just how we look at things situationally. But when you start reading books and, you know, diving down that rabbit hole to just kind of find out how things actually work and how people who have been successful before you became profitable, then you kind of learn what things not to do, what things to do, and just kind of how to become a better, as Spanky
How to says. Become a better, as Spanky would say, the name of his podcast. Yeah. So what was the leap for you? I get it. So you were super interested in the subject. You started betting. Maybe you weren't the best. You were like anybody at the beginning. And you decided, what got you to the point you are now, which is how would you describe your operation? Like, what would you, if someone said, what do you do? What would you describe that to people as?
We just bet.
But no, it's more than that. You're looking at screens all day. Like, this is it's a mini Spanky sort of thing, right?
I mean, I don't know the extent of exactly what he does. But yeah, there's a lot of, you know, paying attention to markets, a lot of injury related stuff. I mean, just to put it as simply as I possibly can, we just bet where we believe we have an edge. And sometimes that's based on information. Sometimes it's based on watching how the line is getting hit back and forth. There's a lot of different indicators. I mean, every time a book moves their line, it's a piece of information. So if you're able to kind of look at that and just kind of piece things together, and almost like put a probability of what's going to happen to that line, then you can kind of predict how things are going to move.
What would you say if I asked you to give a general number on your network of outs, what would that number be?
I can't even recall. At least a couple hundred.
At least a couple hundred.
Yeah.
That's where you've gotten to at this point.
Yeah, give or take.
How many people in your operation itself?
Obviously, I mean, it's just myself and my partner, Harut. Mm-hmm. And then we have a few guys that, you know, work for is helping us out with kind of like manual labor stuff, you know, like data entry, helping, you know, make sure everything's in order with the numbers and things like that.
And how right now he couldn't be here because he's working on that stuff right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. How does trading soccer right now?
Trading soccer.
Yeah.
What would you say is your, and maybe there isn't an answer to this, but if I said, what's your most successful sport over time, what sport would that be?
I'd have to look at the numbers, but I mean, we do really well on NBA. College basketball, I think, is one of the softer markets, so everybody does well on college basketball. And tennis and soccer. Those are probably the top four.
Well, this might be the easier question to answer. What's the sport that flummoxes you the most? That you're like, man, I don't even know if this is even worth our time.
I mean, there's several sports that I really dislike betting, but if we have an edge, I'm still going to bet it. You know, I don't really like betting MLB.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought you would say.
The edges are really thin, but I mean, even NFL has a lot of good aspects to it. It's a very liquid market. You know, you could build really good positions for yourself if you know what you're doing. But it's also that market tends to be pretty sharp, like especially close to the end of the like right when the match is about to start.
It's also one of these things that it's not static over time, right? There might have been a bigger edge in baseball 5 years ago that doesn't exist today, sort of thing. You have to be aware of that.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is with football is you kind of have to be okay with not knowing for sure, because the seasons are so short and there's so few games, you don't have a big enough sample to know if, you know,
this is such a great point.
If something is actually good or not, it's going to take you 4, 5, 6 years to actually be like, okay, this is actually good. This is profitable. Because you can get lucky and have a good season, or you can get unlucky and have a bad season. And, you know, you could get lucky and your information could not be good, mm-hmm. or you could get unlucky and your information could be good. So
even someone who does well 2 years in a row in a contest, it's still not a big enough sample size.
It's too small.
Give me the full year arc. How many years did it take you to get from day one to where you are now? With over 200 outs and an operation of sorts.
We've been doing this for, I mean, since 2017, 2018. So it's been about 5, 6 years.
It's not that long.
No, it's not.
It's not that long. No, but you just applied yourself.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's helped us out the most is just being able to adapt, because the industry is constantly changing. What was working when we first started isn't even around today. You know, some of the sports books that were around when we first started don't even exist anymore. You know, edges come and go, you know.
Edges come and go. Yeah. For sure they do.
Yeah.
What if you had one piece of advice to give to a new bettor? So a lot of people who are listening to this are sophisticated bettors. A lot of people are new or newish. And they're like, yeah, this sounds interesting. I want to be just like that. I'll apply myself for 5 or 6 years. What's the biggest piece of advice you'd give to new bettors?
Read books. There's some really good books out there that just kind of lay out the basic principles. That was just kind of like the foundation that set for us. And then from there, you just kind of learn things from, you know, looking at the screen or, you know, meeting new people who are very talented at certain sports. You know, you gain knowledge from them. Just read and be open to meeting people and learning from. There's always something to learn from anybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're brand new or if they've been in the game for, you know, 20 years.
And be okay, have the humility of not knowing everything and all that.
Yeah, you're never going to know everything.
Right, which applies to all walks of life, not just
exactly.
What we do. And the biggest myth in all of sports betting, just to throw that out at you?
That you can't win? I think that's the biggest myth.
Because you can, you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are making a great living betting sports. It's not easy. The vast majority of people lose, but those people afford us the opportunity to win.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the losers, the winners wouldn't be winning.
But that's a big takeaway, right? That the vast majority do lose, and you've seen it up close and personal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Through the years. Because you've taken in quote-unquote experts from different sports, and you found out maybe not quite as expert as it was made out to be.
I mean, yeah. You see what people are betting, and then you find out, you know, hey, this person is not winning.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a lot of, but then there's also a lot of people that are winning.
Drew, Armenian Bettor on Twitter. We'll have you back. Let's do more of this.
Sure.
I'm curious about all the macro stuff.
Yeah.
Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.